It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Now that the holidays are upon us, how many will decide to turn even further away from the harsh, unfolding realities that so few have so far been willing to face? Here's a quote to consider from Helen Keller. People do not like to think. If one thinks, one must reach conclusions. Conclusions are not always pleasant. Something to consider from someone who faced great challenges in her life. Another quote, one I have read before but needs to be read again. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from political, economic, and/or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. That's from Joseph Goebbels, German Nazi politician and Reich Minister of Propaganda of Nazi Germany from 1933 to 1945. On that note of censorship of the truth, more after announcements in a moment. Now consider this profound quote from the novel Daniel Deronda, author Mary Ann Evans. Listen carefully. This is very profound. Here's the quote. Knowledge is power. But who hath duly considered the power of ignorance? Knowledge slowly builds up what ignorance in an hour pulls down. Knowledge, through patient and frugal centuries, enlarges discovery and makes record of it. Ignorance, wanting its day's dinner, lights a fire with the record and gives a flavor to its one roast with the burned souls of many generations. Very, very deep and profound quote. And finally this, knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave, from Frederick Douglass. Extremely important individual, historically, morally. In this broadcast, where does humanity fit in the equation of the rapidly accelerating extinction event on our planet? How does the, quote, co-extinction factor fit into this equation? As the population begins to realize what is unfolding, will secret bioweapons programs be unleashed against the U.S. population by our own government? These reports and much more coming up. Stay tuned. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for November 24th, 2018. This commercial-free program is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 AM, and now rebroadcast Sunday mornings from 6 to 7 AM as well. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network on Wednesdays at 2 PM Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. If you're aware of any radio station that may be willing to pick up the commercial-free Global Alert News Hour, please let us know. We'll gladly provide the downloads to our broadcast to other stations for free. Our only goal is to sound the alarm. If you're in the Reading area, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials, as always, can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. This week's Jim Fair event, Jim Fair, staunch ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. We're deeply grateful to them. Geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth set up at all Jim Fair events with free materials. If you attend those events, you can get in for free if you're there to get materials and to help us sound the alarm. This week's event started today, ends tomorrow, Monterey, California, at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Next week, very large event, Costa Mesa, California, November 30th through December 2nd at the Orange County Fair and Event Center. Please show up, get free materials, help us to raise awareness. Time is absolutely rapidly running out. We must expose and halt the climate engineering issue. We will then face many other challenges, but that is the single greatest leap we could take in the right direction. Mathematically speaking, if all aspects and consequences of climate engineering are considered, it must be concluded that climate engineering is the greatest and most immediate threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm, because climate engineering is also absolutely weather warfare, and because of the toxic elements being used, it is also biological warfare. More on that in a few moments in this broadcast. I'll cover the most dire and immediate threats we face. But first, consider how much effort the power structure-controlled social media platforms are going to in order to hide reality from populations for as long as possible. Just like I mentioned the quote from the Nazi minister of propaganda in the beginning of this broadcast, YouTube continues to put a, quote, contrail banner, a definition, on some of our YouTubes and others who address the geoengineering issue. They're attaching this in a manner to make it look like it's actually a part of the post, which it is not. That's the control social media has over the flow of information. They put this on videos that address the geoengineering issue, a official false narrative definition of a contrail. And the contrail lie is perhaps the greatest lie ever perpetrated on populations, and it's being continues to be propagated by social media by actually attaching it on our informational posts and making it look like a part of the post. It's this kind of Orwellian total censorship that is pushing us over the cliff. Is this how America is going to be made great again? Is this what so many are blindly waving their flags over? The forced propagation of power structure disinformation, actually altering YouTube posts with total disinformation that's made to look like, again, that it's actually a part of the video post? To all the moralist cowards working for social media who carry out such tyrannical acts like this forced placement of power structure disinformation on private videos, take a long look in the mirror. You're facilitating the complete criminality of so-called governments that are decimating the planet in countless ways. You're a part of it. And if we remain on the current course, understand this. You'll have facilitated and been an accomplice to planetary omnicide. Those that know anyone who works for power structure-controlled social media organizations, please question them about the part they are playing for the criminal cabal that masquerades as our government. In the effort to expose and halt the climate engineering assault and the collective insanity as a whole, how do we best wage this information war, if you will? Credibility is crucial in this battle. It's imperative to exercise caution and discernment before circulating data. If data or slash information is not from a completely trusted source or hasn't been vetted by you, it should be investigated before circulating. If time is not available for objective investigation, it is best not to chance circulating what is not verifiably credible. Very difficult to gain credibility, very easy to lose it. Something to consider, and so many are leaping at any sensationalized claim that is dangled before them. That is not the way we gain ground in this essential battle to expose and halt climate engineering and many other issues like the 9/11 false flag event and so forth. Credible data, imperative. How is the weather? The climate engineers have whipped up a winter weather cool down, as we reported in previous broadcasts, just in time for the holidays. If you think the engineered cold zones in parts of the U.S. are indicative of the global picture, please take the time to objectively research. Start with going through the engineered winter section on the toolbar at the top of the geoengineeringwatch.org homepage. Learn about the patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Learn about the true nature of the engineered winter events. Just as the so-called storms, in fact, I don't think even our local script-reading meteorologists called them storms. They just call it a wave of precipitation because it's just a drifting mass of highly aerosolized aerosols being sprayed from climate engineering operations. Cloud cover. It's not a storm as we historically knew, and we could see a wrapped up counterclockwise rotating low pressure zone coming in with wind and rapidly passing clouds overhead, blue skies above those if you caught a view through. We don't see that anymore. What we see now is completely murky, dirty, filthy looking skies, aircraft trails everywhere, aerosolizing the incoming moisture. In this case, at the start of this so-called wave of precipitation last Wednesday, migrating much of that initial moisture right over the top of California. Why would they do that? Because it keeps the moisture in play to utilize further inland as they chemically nucleate it and begin to cool things down. These are patented processes. Again, chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. I keep stressing this aspect for those that are claiming to fight climate engineering and pretending these weather whiplash cool down events are natural. They are not. And if you pretend they are natural, you are actually towing the line, propagating the narrative for the power structure and the climate engineers. How does that help fight climate engineering? Answer, it doesn't. It doesn't. Speaking of this kind of disinformation and the objective of the climate engineers to confuse and divide the population in regard to the true state of climate collapse, abrupt climate collapse, what we face is far worse, a far more dire threat than what we have been told by these so-called experts, that we face some long, drawn-out, protracted global warming that might be a little inconvenient. It's not the case. We are already free-falling into an abrupt climate collapse, being further fueled by climate engineering, the most insane endeavor ever deployed by the human race. So on that note, let's look at this engineered event. Here's a headline from multiple sources. Thanksgiving could be among the coldest on record in parts of the Northeast. And they're only talking about daytime high record lows, because nighttime temperatures in so many cases are much higher, because it's not cooling off at night. Why not? Because the atmosphere is filling with heat-trapping greenhouse gases. For those that still don't acknowledge that, please understand, we live in a fishbowl. What we emit into the atmosphere does not float out into space. It stays here. And those gases trap heat. Climate engineering, although it can deflect some of the daytime high temperatures, it traps heat as well, along with destroying the ozone layer, toxifying every breath we take, contaminating the entire planet. All of these elements are in play. So we look at a headline like this, these record colds that will be trumpeted from all the power structure controlled media sources and on a holiday when it's most noticed by the population. Here's from the report. Low temperatures Thanksgiving morning and Black Friday will likely be 15 to 25 degrees below average for late November. And they will trumpet that. They don't really talk about that same margin of above normal temperatures. And what we see with the temperatures, again, we see a radical underreporting of the actual temperature, which means it's hotter than we're being told in almost all cases. What do the disinformation sources and sites claim about the engineered cooldown events? And this includes, again, so-called independent sources online who claim to be trying to expose the insanity, actually towing the narrative that the power structure and the climate engineers would want them to tow. Such sources claim that such events, though completely unnatural and engineered, are somehow signs of global cooling. Again, exactly the narrative the power structure and the climate engineers want. So many people I hear ranting and raving about the solar minimum, as if that's proof of global cooling, neither of which is true. Again, for the record, statistically, let's deal with facts and not ideology, not preconception, not bias. Let's deal with facts. Even the Maunder minimum, the large solar minimum that created the so-called mini ice age, that was 1/400th decline in the solar radiance, 0.025%, 1/400th. Human activity, including climate engineering, has totally overwhelmed that factor. We've just passed, again, I believe, the 404th consecutive month of above normal global temperatures. Where is the big cool down? No, it's only sections produced by the climate engineers, just like the eastern half of the North American continent right now, which, by the way, if we look at the whole global map of departure from normal high temperatures, we see one anomalously cold blue spot. Guess where? Eastern half of the North American continent. How is that indicative of the whole planet? Answer, it's not. It's not. So please, I'm asking people to deal with facts, not ideology, not preconception, not bias. And if you're here to help stop climate engineering, then acknowledge climate engineering. There's no legitimate discussion about the climate without discussing climate engineering first and foremost. No legitimate discussion about climate engineering without discussing chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Now, we have many people with a vested interest in trying to deny the imploding environment. This goes to the highest levels of government. And I'll get to later in this broadcast, when does biological warfare come into play? And I would argue, of course, it already is. We have more than enough data to prove that. But how radical will that get, and how soon? Let's start with the subject of tyranny, the criminal lying from the current administration's Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke. I've covered this again and again, but his lying continues, because that's what his job is. The following headline this week was from Fox News, CNN, and many other sources. Here it is, again, yet again. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke blames, quote, radical environmentalists for deadly California wildfires. From that report, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke is blaming radical environmentalists, quote, that's his words, for the deadly California wildfires that have left dozens dead. We know we're at over, 80-something now. Saying they'd rather, quote, burn down the entire forest than cut a single tree, end quote, from Ryan Zinke. He said this during a press briefing via teleconference last Tuesday. Zinke addressed forest management concerns in the wake of devastating fires, saying that it is a situation that can, quote, absolutely be mitigated. Lie on top of lie on top of lie. First, my disdain for the, quote, radical environmentalists. How radical are any environmentalists, which includes all of the major environmental groups, that don't even address the single greatest environmental concern of all, climate engineering? They don't, and I've covered why. The unimaginably hypocritical environmental groups are afraid of losing their 501c3s, and all of their followers simply choose to believe if their chosen group or their chosen group leader doesn't acknowledge climate engineering, it doesn't exist, even though it's the single greatest and most destructive threat we face. Then we have the criminal government, and Mr. Zinke blaming the California fires on the unwillingness to cut down a tree. And I've shown on video what a Ryan Zinke managed forest looks like. There's no forest left, nothing. Even the living oaks that are supposed to be left, according to law, are spiked and killed and poisoned with chemicals. Look at the video I posted of a Ryan Zinke type managed forest at geoengineeringwatch.org. It's under the recent and top story sections. You can see that there's no forest left. And of course, that won't burn. But how does that help us? No trees, no people. The fires are most directly related to climate engineering. Please research that. Climate engineering cutting off the hydrological cycle, toxifying soils, destroying the ozone layer, producing more dry lightning, dropping incendiary dust on the trees. That's the source of the fires. That's the single greatest source. And for those environmentalists that claim that's not true because they want to deny climate engineering and they claim it's only a result of global warming, that's not true either. That's not true. More rain on a warming planet, not less. We wouldn't have a destroyed ozone layer without climate engineering. We have unimaginable, willful blindness and hypocrisy on every side of the fence. It's truly, truly distressing that so few are willing to get over their ideology, to climb out of the ranks of their willful blindness and those that surround them that are also willfully blind and look at the facts, look at the truth. That's all we've ever asked at geoengineeringwatch.org. Look at the data. We're a completely non-political site, and it's no different now as when other administrations, although this administration is worse. I have to tell the absolute truth. I mean, we are really at the bottom of the barrel. This is a no-holds-bar, gut the environment, loot, plunder, pillage till there's nothing left. Let's face it, that's the fact of the matter. And it's amazing how many people still claim if Trump only knew, if he only knew, as if he doesn't know. And the same with people waving their Obama flag or their Clinton flag or whatever flag they want to wave. Or Bernie Sanders, what a paid loser he is as well. Bottom line is, it's all theater. It's all theater. I'll say it again and again and again. If you're on any side of the political fence, you're missing the point. You're missing the point, and you're caught up in the theater. While the house, proverbial house, burns to the ground. Let's continue with headlines. From the UK Independent and other sources, this related report, swaths of Amazonian rainforest dying as trees failed to keep up with climate change. No mention of climate engineering, the elephant in the room again. But Mr. Zinke, what about the Amazon? Should we have gone in somehow and, quote unquote manage the entire Amazon, and would that have fixed everything by cutting it all down? And I played last week again the head of the California Professional Firefighters Association, 30-year firefighting veteran, also reiterating that the narrative that the forests are burning because of lack of forest management is total nonsense. It's not that forests shouldn't be managed. And when I have someone tell me, someone who's never been in the forest, tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about with that, I do take offense. I've grown up in the forest, as I've stated repeatedly. Father was an arborist. I've done 6 major cost share programs with forest and or state and federal agencies, habitat restoration programs that I ran, that I supervised, restoring habitat, trying to restore lands that were horrifically damaged from logging to begin with. This is what I have done on an industrial scale, firsthand, falling the trees that needed to be cut down. I've fallen literally thousands of trees in my lifetime, thousands. Been doing it since I was a kid. I know about what's happening in the forest. I live in the middle of it, spent my life in it, and done far more habitat restoration than I would argue most. I'm simply saying that, yes, I'm for trying to mitigate damage that's been done from human activity in the first place, but the notion that that is the problem is ridiculous. When we have Siberian forests dying that have never been touched, Amazonian forests dying, never been touched, why did those forests remain for hundreds or thousands or millions of years with minimal fire activity, and now it's off the scale? Can't people connect these dots? How hard is this? Or is it just too tempting to cling to the official narrative of pacification that everything's fine? We just need to cut down more trees. We just need to loot, plunder, and pillage more. Sorry if I sound angry. It's only because I am. Why wouldn't I be? The future on which my children depend, on which everyone's children depends, on which the web of life depends, is literally circling the drain at this moment. And so many people are so willfully blind from all sides of the fence, from all sides, far left, far right, the manufactured paradigm of division and distraction. And by the way, that's what the holidays are typically used for as well. I don't fault anyone for needing a break from the insanity. But unfortunately, the majority of the population is on a permanent break from the insanity, which makes them a contributor to the insanity. And the holidays are used to distract the population, to put them in a mode of mass consumption. Stand in a Costco or a Walmart and look around, and how many people do you think have any inkling of what's unfolding? Any idea whatsoever? The shelves are all stocked. The Christmas music is playing. What could be wrong? What could be wrong? How many of those people know or understand or have any comprehension of the fact that over $40 billion worth of food is being imported from abroad, from countries that are starving to death to keep our shelves stocked, that we are manufacturing and throwing away unimaginable amounts of resources, going through 100 million barrels of fossil fuel every single day, 100 million barrels. How can that possibly not have an effect? And I see comments from people who rail against this kind of information, claiming humans could never have any effect on the planet. That ideology comes from fear and unimaginable ignorance, but heavily on the fear side, from people who don't want to face reality, who don't want to face the fact that the fossil fuel fiesta, in the words of James Kunstler, is over. It's over. It's in its death throes right now, but the sooner we face that fact, the sooner we change directions, the more chance we might have of salvaging something. And if we can save anything, isn't that worth fighting for? Any future for anybody's children, for any part of the web of life, is that not worth fighting for? It absolutely is. And so many that are going about their lives as if nothing is wrong have a responsibility to help sound the alarm, help us to share credible data from a credible source. The battle on behalf of the many cannot be waged by a very few individuals. It can't. It absolutely can't. More are needed to bring dire issues to light to help us change course, or we will soon hit the wall at full velocity. On that note, let me continue with more headlines from ArcticNews.com and other sources. This very important report. Warm, salty water from the Atlantic Ocean is increasingly invading the Arctic Ocean. Been over this again and again and again. Climate engineering helping to facilitate this heating in the attempt to hide the symptom, making it worse. Changing upper-level wind currents, that changes ocean currents. That's helping to pump warm water into the Arctic. What's that doing? It's thawing methane hydrates on the sea floor. Here's part of the report. I've been over this in so many broadcasts over a decade. The danger is that a strong influx of salty warm water into the Arctic Ocean could, we see those words a lot, you know how much I hate them, could trigger destabilization of hydrates in sediments, resulting in massive eruptions of methane from the seafloor of the Arctic Ocean, as described in other reports. Now, it's already happening, so why do they use the words could, may, might? We can already see it on the land surface. Search Siberian methane craters. You'll be shocked at the photos you see, and it's happening on the seafloor at a much bigger scale. Report continues. This methane could, there we have the same words again, could cause temperatures to suddenly rise strongly at the higher latitudes in the northern hemisphere, speeding up decline of sea ice and permafrost and further deforming the jet stream. No mention of climate engineering and the ionosphere heaters that are radically deforming the jet stream. Report continues. This could, there's the word again, every paragraph, could trigger even more extreme weather events, in particular storms, flooding, heat waves, and fires across the northern hemisphere that could devastate crops. If it's happening now, how can you say could? Again, we're back to if you run someone over with a semi-truck, it could cause bodily harm. And if you've already done it and they're laying in the pavement, why would you use those words? It's done. It's happening now. It could take down power grids, threaten meltdowns of nuclear power plants. It's already unfolding. For the record, climate engineering has completely altered upper-level wind patterns again. This, in turn, has altered ocean currents, as I stated. This, in turn, has contributed to the warmer waters that are now flooding into the Arctic, which may be a final linchpin in our collective coffins if enough methane thaws and releases. From every conceivable direction, climate engineering operations are pounding the final nails into our collective coffins. Moving on, this next headline is from HawaiiNewsNow.com and other sources. Quote, scary. Expansive study concludes threat to humanity from climate change, quote, much larger than previously thought. How long have we said that at geoengineeringwatch.org? And again, no mention of climate engineering, the giant elephant in the sky. Quote, how many wake-up calls will it take to wake up? That's a good question, is it? How many? Geoengineeringwatch.org has spent all the resources we can generate and try to come up with. And again, from my personal SEP IRA retirement account that's long gone now, trying to send flyers out in papers. In the case of the Northern California awareness event that just occurred, 5 newspapers throughout Northern California, color glossy, 100-pound paper flyers, information-packed, addressing the fact, even before any of the fires started, these fires went out, even before the car fire, stating climate engineering will cause these scenarios to happen. And then the car fire came, canceling our initial event. Exactly what we said would happen, happening. We rescheduled the event October, more flyers, more information confirming that climate engineering was the single greatest causal factor with the fires and that it would continue. And what happened? Even after our event in October, again, continuing the campfire, the Woolsey fire. For a decade, we've stated this at geoengineeringwatch.org. So again, I'll go back to the question. We provided data to back up our assertions as well. So here's back to the question. How many wake-up calls will it take to actually wake up? How many? Expansive new report from a team of 23 scientists led by a University of Hawaii professor predicts that together, the combined hazards mean that society faces a, quote, much larger threat from climate change than previous studies have suggested. Exactly what we've stated for how long. Consider this new report from truthout.org and other sources. Quote, killing plants is the fastest way to end the world. A recent study underscores how human-caused global warming could annihilate life through co-extinction. Remember that term, co-extinction. I'm going to elaborate that in a moment. Co-extinction of species from Dar Jamal. I appreciate Dar Jamal's coverage of the climate. I regret that he has not shown the courage to address climate engineering, thinking that it is safer to just pretend it isn't happening. Dar, find the courage to please address climate engineering, because that is the single greatest causal factor for the die-off of foliage around the globe, toxifying soils and waters, destroying the ozone layer, and yet let's all just pretend it's just global warming. That is not the truth. not denying global warming, but I'm saying there is an even bigger and more dire factor, and that's climate engineering. Please, authors like Darjamal, please address the full truth, not just a half truth. There's either the full truth or there's something other than the truth. A boat doesn't float if it's mostly watertight, it sinks. Please, those journalists that claim to be addressing the truth, please tell the whole truth. Along this same theme, let's look at another report from multiple sources. Climate change, there's the words again, may cause mass extinctions. New report shows. If we have mass extinction right now, why is the may word in there? If we're losing species right now at 1.5% of normal, is that not mass extinction? If we've already lost 60% of Earth's wildlife in the last 40 years, and in the current trajectory, we will have no wildlife left by 2026, mathematically speaking, is that not mass extinction? And yet we have words like could, may, might. This is academia, the collective insanity, academia that has betrayed the human race and the entire web of life so far. I hope that changes. From this report, new research has found that extreme climate change risks an extinction effect that could annihilate all life on Earth. The worst case scenario is outlined in the journal Scientific Reports and describes how organisms die out because they depend on other doomed species in a process called co-extinctions. Understand that term, co-extinctions. Many will instinctively choose to root themselves even deeper in denial rather than to face such a dire report, which is in fact, it still falls short of the actual frontline reality. Denial won't save us. Only in fully facing the storm do we have any chance. Let's go straight to the source of this dire headline that I just covered. Carefully consider this new science study posted last week in Nature.com and other sources. It is the final sentence of the study summary that desperately needs to be heard. Here's the title of the science study. Co-extinctions annihilate planetary life during extreme environmental change. From the report, climate change and human activity are dooming species at an unprecedented rate via a plethora of direct and indirect, often synergistic mechanisms. Among these, primary extinctions driven by environmental change could be just the tip of an enormous extinction iceberg. As our understanding of the importance of ecological interactions in shaping ecosystems' identity advances, it is becoming clearer how the disappearance of consumers following the depletion of their resources, a process known as co-extinction, it is more likely the major driver of biodiversity loss. Although general relevance of co-extinction is supported by a sound and robust theoretical background, the challenges of obtaining empirical information about ongoing and past co-extinction events is complicated. Now listen carefully. Ecological dependencies amplify the direct effects of environmental change on the collapse of planetary diversity by up to 10 times. What does that mean? It means a chain reaction, codependency. When one species dies out, every species that depended on that species also dies out, and so on. All the way down the chain. That's what's happening. That's what I've stressed for so many years. The equation is completely non-linear and accelerating by the day. And we are a part of the co-extinction scenario, the human race. We depend on a functional environment, on functional habitat. No environment, no habitat, no people. Period. Period. Now consider, on top of all that I just covered, the unimaginably destructive and highly toxic climate engineering weather warfare assault, which will be the final nail, as I stated, in our collective coffins if it's not immediately exposed and halted. This is the single greatest assault on the web of life, man's attempt to play God with the weather. What unimaginable hubris and arrogance in a population that, although they can see it with their own eyes, and should easily be able to rationally conclude something horrific is going on above our heads, choose to believe the official lies. The more the lie is repeated, the more it's believed. The bigger the lie, the more it's believed. Just as the Nazi minister of propaganda stated that I covered in the beginning of this broadcast. And they choose to go on about their lives with their iPhones and holiday music and pretend nothing is wrong. While we hurtle over the edge of the cliff. In regard to co-extinction, unfortunately, the vast majority of society is, again, still trying to convince themselves that our fate will somehow turn out differently than the fate of the environment. That couldn't be further from the truth. How many of us are doing our best to sound the alarm? I hear responses like this. It's just doom and gloom. Everything will be fine. Here is my answer to any that would respond in such a way. Such denial, again, won't save you. And very soon, denial will be completely shattered. Consider this headline report from PressINZA.com and other sources. Quote, human extinction by 2026, A last-ditch strategy to fight for human survival. This is the conclusion from the report. The evidence in relation to destruction of Earth's biosphere leading to ongoing and rapid degradation of all ecosystems and their services is readily available and overwhelming. The many and varied forms of destruction are having a synergistic impact, i.e. extremely nonlinear. Continuing, there is a notable group of prominent climate scientists who present compelling evidence that human extinction will occur by 2026 as a result of projected 10 degrees Celsius increase in global temperatures above the pre-industrial level by this date. The primary document for this, with the evidence it cites, is readily available to be read and analyzed by anyone willing to do so. Continuing from this report, largely separated from the climate catastrophe, although now increasingly complicated by it, Earth's sixth mass extinction is already advancing rapidly as we destroy habitat, and on our current trajectory, all species will soon enter the fossil record. Why? Because we live in a world in which the political, economic, military, legal, and social structures and processes of human society are utterly incapable of producing either functional human beings or governance mechanisms that take into account and respect the ecological realities of Earth's biosphere. Report finishes with this. So, to reiterate, we are on the fast track to extinction. On the current trajectory, assuming we can avert nuclear war, sometime between 2021 and 2026, the last human will take their final breath. These are not my words. This is from a scientific report. I want that understood. This is what we have said for so many years. If you see a car heading 100 miles an hour into a concrete wall and it's 10 feet from impact, you know it's going to hit. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no could, may, might. It's going to hit. No matter how hard you try to depress the brakes at that point, it doesn't matter. Though you can't know where all the parts and pieces will fly, you know impact is there. If you crash through the guardrail, and we already have, you know you're going to go through the bottom to the bottom of the canyon. And yet, as I've given the example so many times, that's the analogy of the human race. Occupants of a car that's crashed through the guardrail, plummeting through the air toward the bottom of the canyon, and the occupants are fighting over what station to put the radio on. That's the scenario we find ourselves in. So now we have science report conclusions from frontline climate scientists that are not even acknowledging climate engineering. And still the report is this dire. And knowing the report is this dire, knowing that power structures do whatever they want, who could rationally believe that they wouldn't engage in climate engineering to keep, to retain their power and to hide the gravity of what's unfolding from the population for as long as possible by engineering chemically nucleated cool downs, patented processes of chemically nucleated cool downs that the Chinese government openly announced they did, challenge anyone to look that up. Search Chinese scientists create artificial snowstorm. Fox News Popular Science covered it. I repeat this again and again and again. I'll continue to do so until people hopefully actually investigate, dump their bias, preconception, and ideology, and face the truth and help us to sound the alarm while we still have something left to salvage. On that note, here's the final statement from this science report. Our only prospect of survival, and it still has only a remote chance of succeeding, is that a great number of us respond powerfully now and keep mobilizing more people to do so. I want to repeat that. Our only prospect of survival, and it still has only a remote chance of succeeding, is that a great number of us respond powerfully now and keep mobilizing more people to do so. I have stated this over and over and over, that reaching a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward when people understand they are fighting for their lives quite literally and stop participating with the insanity and start focusing on the preservation of what is left of Earth's life support systems. Search geoengineeringwatch.org, the only way forward. That article will add more detail to what I just stated. The rapidly accelerating biosphere implosion will push the power structure to total desperation. What might that mean? It could and likely will mean many things. Many cards will be played by the dying empire, the biggest of which is the United States of America. Most will not see the connection, but it is verifiably there on countless fronts. What happens to those who dare to try and expose the truth about government criminality? Let's ask that question. Consider this headline from the Duran.com and other sources. Quote, Trump quietly orders elimination of Assange, Julian Assange. From that report, the destruction of Assange has clearly been arranged for at the highest levels of U.S. government, just as the destruction of Jamal Khashoggi was by the Saudi Arabian government. On June 28th, the Washington Examiner headlined, quote, Pence pressed Ecuadorian president on country's protection of Julian Assange and reported that Vice President Mike Pence discussed the asylum status of Julian Assange during a meeting with Ecuador's leader following pressure from Senate Democrats who have voiced concerns over the country's protection of the WikiLeaks founder. Pence had been given this assignment by U.S. President Donald Trump. By contrast, how are convicted criminals treated by the highest levels of the regime that masquerades as the U.S. government? If they're trying so hard to get rid of Julian Assange for his courageous attempt to expose the truth. Consider this. Scooter Libby, who had arranged for the smearing of Valerie Plame, who had tried to prevent the illegal and deceit-based 2003 invasion of Iraq, was sentenced to 30 months in prison but never spent even a day in prison. And U.S. President Trump finally went so far as to grant him, Scooter Libby, a complete pardon on the 13th of April 2018. The carefully researched docudrama Fair Game covered well the Plame incident. Libby had overseen the career destruction of a courageous CIA agent, Plame, who had done the right thing and gotten fired for it. And Trump pardoned Libby, thus retroactively endorsing the lie-based invasion of Iraq in 2003. By contrast, the president is determined to get Julian Assange killed or otherwise eliminated. And even Democrats in Congress are pushing for him, i.e. Trump, to get that done. Why is that a surprise? Again, they are two sides of the same coin. The new president of Ecuador is doing their bidding, a puppet government of the U.S., so many around the world. Without pressure from the U.S. government, Assange would already be a free man. Thus, either Assange will die, i.e. be murdered, soon inside the embassy, or else he'll disappear and be smeared in the press under U.S. control. And of course, this is being done in such a way that no one will be prosecuted for the murder or false imprisonment. Just like the Saudi situation with the murder that just occurred, dictated by the Saudi government. And what do we see our government, our president stating? Saudis are our friends. They buy a lot of weapons. We need their oil. Who cares? Everything's fine. That's what it's about. It's not freedom or democracy. It's about power and control. And make no mistake, it always has been. Not just this administration, but so many before it. Obama, Clintons, Bushes, and the rest. From the report, Trump had promised to, quote, clean the swamp. But as soon as he was elected, he abandoned that pretense. And as president, he has been bipartisan on that matter, to hide the crimes of the bipartisan U.S. government. And he is remarkably similar in policy to his immediate predecessors, whom he had severely criticized while he was running for the presidency. Mr. Trump, why haven't you put Hillary Clinton in jail where she belongs? Because you never intended to, ever. Again, let's please disconnect from the whole political theater and focus on the fact that our planet is going down in flames, and what will the power structure do as that unfolds? To be clear, the halls of our so-called government are filled with criminals. The political stripe they wear does not matter. All are part of the crime syndicate masquerading as a legitimate government. What cards will the power structure play as the walls close in and they run out of options? What part will biological warfare play in the unfolding collapse? Follow me through with these series of headlines. Connect the dots. First, this from multiple sources. Democratic Republic of Congo's current Ebola outbreak, worst in country's history, officials say. Ebola virus disease, which causes an often fatal type of hemorrhagic fever, the current Ebola outbreak in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo is the worst in the country's recorded history. Haven't heard much about that in the news, have we? Let's just sing jingle bells as we go shopping. Question, are the Ebola outbreaks just an act of nature, or is there much more to the story? Read my first book about Ebola 36 years ago. My research started there. Now let's consider the critical new report VaccineImpact.com on a cataclysm that occurred in the U.S. 100 years ago. Did a vaccine experiment on U.S. soldiers cause the Spanish flu? The 1918 bacterial vaccine experiment may have killed 50 to 100 million people. Summary. The reason modern technology has not been able to pinpoint the killer influenza strain, this is all related, so please follow me through. From this pandemic, the Spanish flu, is because influenza was not the killer. More soldiers died during World War I from this disease than from bullets. The pandemic was not flu. An estimated 95% or higher of the deaths were caused by bacterial pneumonia, not influenza. The pandemic was not Spanish. The first cases of bacterial pneumonia in 1918 traced back to a military base in Fort Riley, Kansas. From January 21 through June 4, 1918, an experimental bacterial meningitis vaccine cultured in horses by the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research in New York was injected into soldiers at Fort Riley. Next, during the remainder of 1918, as those soldiers, often living and traveling under poor sanitary conditions, were sent to Europe to fight, they spread bacteria at every stop between Kansas and the frontline trenches in France. Next, one study described soldiers with active infections who were, quote, aerosolizing the bacteria that colonized their noses and throats, while others, often in the same breathing spaces, were profoundly susceptible to the invasion and rapid spread through their lungs by their own or others colonizing bacteria. Next, the Spanish flu attacked healthy people in their prime. Bacterial pneumonia attacks people in their prime. The flu, by contrast, generally attacks and is most fatal for the young, the old, and the immunocompromised. When World War I ended on November 11, 1918, soldiers returned to their home countries and colonial outposts, spreading the killer bacterial pneumonia worldwide. During World War I, the Rockefeller Institute also sent their vaccine serum to England, France, Belgium, Italy, and other countries, helping spread the epidemic worldwide. Why don't we know this kind of history? Because we are not meant to know it. Continuing, put these dots together, please. Next report from Global Research and author Janet Phelan. Incredibly important report. Secret biological weapons programs in the U.S. Patriot Act allows violations of bioweapons laws. From this report, the Biological Weapons Convention was signed by three depository countries, Russia, Great Britain, and the United States in 1972 and entered into force in 75. The announcement by the Nixon administration in 1969 that the U.S. would unilaterally renounce the use of biological weapons and discontinue its biological weapons program provided an impetus towards the establishment of the treaty. Unlike other disarmament treaties, the Biological Weapons Convention has no verification protocol. What this means is that there is no way for the convention to check to see if those who have signed it and ratified the convention are in fact abiding by its dictates. In 2001, after several years of meetings and consultations, an ad hoc committee presented to the convention a verification protocol for approval. The U.S. delegation walked out, boycotting the protocol. Due to the refusal of the U.S. to approve the verification mechanisms, the bioweapons conference remains a paper tiger. It is in reality a treaty in name only, with no way to check the compliance and no way to deal with violations. The U.S. team boycotted the protocol only months before the attacks of September 11th and subsequent anthrax attacks. Based on what turned out to be false statements that Iraq was hosting an offensive biological weapons program, the U.S. invaded Iraq in 2003. The FBI subsequently allocated responsibility for the anthrax attacks on Fort Detrick researcher Dr. Bruce Ivins, who conveniently committed suicide on the eve of his probable arrest. Subsequent reports have cast doubt on the likelihood that Ivins was the culprit. In fact, the weaponized anthrax most likely came from a Battelle lab or from Dugway Proving Grounds in Utah. Battelle is a private nonprofit which also manages the U.S. Department of Energy and Homeland Security labs. Dugway is a military base. Both a Battelle lab in Ohio and Dugway had anthrax from the very same vial that Dr. Ivins had access to at Fort Detrick and was determined to contain the weaponized anthrax used in the anthrax attacks. In other words, the anthrax most likely came from a facility funded by the U.S. government. The FBI declined to investigate personnel at either of these facilities. What a surprise. Report continues. Our collective safety depends on a number of factors. The proliferation of labs. There are now 1,350 such research labs in the U.S. alone and has resulted in an increasing incidence of accidents. As reported in 2014 USA Today article, U.S. labs mishandled dangerous biomaterials at least 1,100 times between 2008 and 2012 alone. Report states this. Accidents are one concern. Another concern would be events that involve intentional release. Continuing from the report, the U.S. illegal bioweapons program, the manipulation of false bioweapons assertions by the U.S. government does not end with attempts to invade other countries used as false flag events. Valid questions have arisen as to whether the U.S. in fact engaged in a secret bioweapons program of its own. Information buttressing concerns that the U.S. in fact launched a secret biological weapons program was turned over to the Biological Weapons Convention at the 7th Review Conference in 2011. This report traveled to Geneva in December of 2011 and put this statement on the record. Quote, the information provided to the delegates both in short and in speech is subsequent in subsequent handouts reflected the following concerns. The United States has amended its biological weapons legislation via the U.S. Patriot Act and is now giving its own agents immunity from prosecution for violating the law. Remember the vaccines? Vaccine companies, immunity from prosecution. Climate engineering, government, Senate documents state everyone participating, immunity from prosecution. This is a criminal organization masquerading as our government. Two, the United States has failed to report this change in legislation to the bioweapons conference and is mandated to do it. Three, these weapons are reported to be secretly stockpiled at Sierra Army Depot in Northern California. I only have time to give excerpts from this report, but here's the point. In order to retain their stranglehold on control to the last possible moment, those at the top tiers of power are making preparations to utilize ever more lethal forms of biological weapons to subdue populations. Radio frequency microwave transmissions are part of this as well. History and all available data conclusively confirms that such covert weapons have long since been forced on unsuspecting populations. Toxic vaccinations, fluoridated water, pesticide-laced genetically altered food, climate engineering fallout, etc., all are undeniable examples of biological warfare. Now, back to the Ebola example I cited earlier in this broadcast. Listen carefully. Concerns that the bioweapons may be deployed to specifically devastate pre-selected demographic groups were enhanced in the recent Ebola crisis that I mentioned earlier. Again, Ebola broke out in the areas in which biosafety labs were already in place. There are such labs located in Monrovia, Liberia, Kenya, Sierra Leone, and Tuan Guinea. These countries were all hit hard with Ebola. Either concurrent accidents or intentional releases could have resulted in the subsequent devastation visited upon these countries by Ebola virus. Not an accident. Testing going on. The global research report continues. Numerous insiders with the military, government, and vaccine companies have publicly stated the imminent threat of either a bioweapons attack or a pandemic. Question, how would we know the difference unless we were told? Answer, we wouldn't. Most recently, the British newspaper The Guardian joined the choir, abandoning reportage and instead evidencing a gift of prophecy in the following headline. Quote, Ebola isn't the big one. Question, so what is? And are we ready for it? Question mark. Now consider this headline statement from BBC and other sources. Spanish flu was one of the most serious pandemics humanity has faced over the last century, but there are others, and some have the capacity to be even deadlier, i.e. Ebola. Biological warfare. How is this denied with so many biolabs, 1,350 in the U.S. alone and others in other countries, exactly where these outbreaks occur? And how long will the American population choose to pretend that our so-called government and others are there for the greater good? That couldn't be further from verifiable reality. The bottom line is this. The current paradigm of industrialized civilization and the military-industrial complex is imploding along with the biosphere and the climate systems. Those who still choose to believe that the criminal elements at the highest levels of our government would not resort to biological warfare against their own populations have not studied history and are not living in reality. From toxic vaccinations to toxic fluoride being added in our water to toxic pesticides, pharmaceuticals, genetically modified foods, microwave transmission dangers, the assault against populations has been ongoing. Now consider the extremely toxic fallout from the ongoing atmospheric spraying from climate engineering weather warfare operations. If that already toxic mix is altered to something more lethal, game over. So what do we do? What can we do? Do we allow fear to paralyze us into inaction? How would that help? Answer, it wouldn't. It won't. Convert fear to a justifiable rage. Turn that anger to fuel for constructively and efficiently and effectively helping to sound the alarm. Reaching a critical mass of awareness in the population is the first and most essential leap in the right direction. If we can expose the insanity to the masses, starting with the climate engineering, weather warfare / biological warfare assault, we can stop it. Those in power are not gods, and we are not helpless. Stand up and make your voice heard. Share credible data from a credible source. Make absolutely every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.